the supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutation of Allah be upon all of you. Salam, this is today's special, and we're going to speak about entertainment in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Wednesday, is the 25th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of the month of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Holy Quran, and this is Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 82. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ قُوَّةً وَآثَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
Have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those before them? They were more numerous than themselves and greater in strength and in impression on the land, but they were not availed by what they used to earn.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the Quranic criticisms is failing to travel so as to acquire knowledge and experience. Disbelievers' opposition against the noble prophet stemmed from their vanity for their large number and might. The blessed verse reveals that the ruins of the cities of Ad and Thamud, two famous tribes, were still visible at the time of the revelation of the blessed verse, since it is encouraged herein to travel and see them and perceive that those people who were superior to them in terms of might, valiance, and number failed to resist divine wrath and were entangled with torment. Entertainment in Islam. Is it next to impossible to find good lawful entertainment? Not quite. Playing sports can be fun. In fact, it is highly recommended in Islam that a father should teach his son swimming, archery, and horse riding. It is well known that gambling, music, and wine are forbidden in Islam, but there are many other diversions or alternatives to these. Most games are permitted in Islam. Music that is suitable for corrupt gatherings is forbidden, but who doesn't love a sweet, melodious voice? Prophet Dawood has a melodious voice, and it is said that the people in paradise will hear him only. So the alternatives are Islamic poetry. However, one has to make sure that the type of poetry they choose does not contain haram music. Fine arts can be fun, like painting, drawing, and poetry. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with recreation and enjoying oneself in everyday life as depicted in Islam. Now we find that a truly religious person is expected to be attentive to three different but at the same time related spheres of life or walks of life. One, a special time for communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for religious purposes, Another one is, sometime for earning money, for working and earning money, whether, it might be, manual work or it might be an intellectual work. Some people may earn money by, manual jobs, for example, farming or, for example, running a shop and so on. Or some people may earn their living by means of being involved in some kinds of, jobs which require intellectual efforts, like, for example, thinking, writing, speaking, teaching, and so on. And another sphere of one's life is concerned with receiving delight, happiness, and the last one is specified for recreation and being relieved from the burdens of daily toils and troubles in a positive and legal way, because not every kind of recreation is allowed, because sometimes some types of recreation may be religiously prohibited, like, for example, gambling. It's strictly forbidden in the Islamic religion.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The intention of doing entertainment. That is the topic of this part. For Muslims, entertainment is not the sole goal and purpose of life, but a blessing for Allah the Almighty did. We could perform entertainment and accept enjoyment, but Muslims must remember that it's only a matter of dunya or temporal world, and our purpose is to get blessed and glory in akhirah, that means hereafter. The entertainment could be an activity that estrange us from worship. The goal of Muslims to be living in this world is seeking for the blessings of Allah, the Almighty. Worship Him and do His command. Allah says in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter 62, verse 11, "And when they saw a transaction or a sport, they rushed to it and left you standing. Say, what is with Allah is better than the sport and form and from any transaction. And Allah is the best of the providers."
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, شفعة أنا لها أنا لها.
As the previous episodes of today's special, we'll look at forms of halal entertainment. Our suggestion for today, on today's special, is video games and videos. Not all video games and videos are haram. It's the content that matters. It's the content that matters. So if you enjoy playing video games and can balance without getting addicted, make sure you only buy halal games. The same with movies and other videos. Watch something Islamic or something beneficial and keep away from movies which have shameless scenes and teach bad things. Most importantly, do not get addicted and sit till Fajr time praying. So balance and be careful and responsible when choosing the content. And do not try to fool yourself that a certain movie is halal when you know it is not, because you cannot fool Allah or the angels sitting with you watching and writing down every moment into your book of deeds.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, the rahmah of God, the mercy of God does not descend in a gathering in which there is singing, there is inappropriate music. The mercy of God is withheld from such gatherings. And then the Imam cited this verse. He was giving evidence to support his message. The Imam alayhi salam says, Allah says in the Holy Quran. So we see that the position of the Holy Quran is very clear, my dear brothers and sisters. Music that's inappropriate, that's provocative, songs that awaken the human desire, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, something that the Holy Quran discourages. Now the question is why? I know many of you always think about this point. Why? Especially these days with your ear pods, nobody can even hear what you're listening. You're not disturbing anyone. What's the harm? Why is this sinful? I'm not harming anyone. I just need a distraction. I need some time to feel good about myself. And a lot of these songs, they improve my mood. They improve my attitude, as the claim goes, of course. And so where's the harm in it? My dear brothers and sisters, I just would like to share with you some studies and what they have revealed about this form of entertainment, because it is harmful for us. Go on Google and type in the following words: content analysis of top songs, hit songs, songs that make it to the top of the album. Go and research and see what kind of messages are being communicated, and then you'll see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited it. You think the messages that are being communicated are positive? One in three songs talk about drug abuse, substance abuse, drug addiction, alcohol usage, and smoking. One in three songs. Is this a healthy message that you want to expose yourself to? According to studies, you can find them, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a reality that we're living. According to some studies, 92% of all songs talk about sex. 92%. Over 66% of songs today, they talk about drug, violence, and sex.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam listeners. Today we start the day with a maxim from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to his cousin and first infallible successor, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. O Ali, no poverty is harsher than ignorance, no fortune better than the intellect, no loneliness desolate than pride, no victory like counseling. No intellect like moderation. No lineage like good manners. And no worship like pondering over things.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytil at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous programs, we discussed that having complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is what makes a person wealthy. But it does not mean that a person should not seek his needs, and you know, if he really needs something, or he's you know, has a trouble or a tribulation that is affecting him, then he should not ask others. But what is important and what can be a means to assist this person is that he understands that this person who he's asking may be a means and a medium by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him his wish, grants him his need. For we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works via causes, via mediums. It's very rare that we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affecting directly. This is the world of cause and effect. So this person may be of those things that, or that medium by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to remove that difficulty or to provide that wish and need of that individual. But again, what is important is that the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam show us that who we should ask. We should not just ask anybody. There are certain individuals that we are, you know, guided towards and are told to ask. For example, in the situation of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us that don't ask the wrong person. It is better for you to ignore your need, to let that need go unmet, instead of, you know, asking a person who will probably make it worse for you. There are many reasons why this may be. So the Imam says that letting a need go unmet is easier than asking the wrong person for it. What does this mean? For example, a person has a particular financial need that he really needs. But he can, you know,
find other winds and maybe it will come to him at a later time. But he asks a person who gives him the money, he gives him that financial assistance, but he puts conditions on it that are so difficult for him to meet. For example, you have to give it back at this particular day, and if you don't give it back, you have to pay more. And this person is constantly nagging and constantly, you know, badgering for the money to be returned. You know, it plays on a person's nerves that, you know, you have this responsibility to pay back. This person is badgering you, is completely on your case, and so on and so forth. Another one is that when a person seeks favor with you, this is what the Holy Quran speaks about, that when you give something, do not seek favor. Do not seek, you know, conditions. If you do something, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A wrong person may be that person who gives it to you seeking favor, and he always, for example, mentions it to you. You know, remember that time I gave you this amount of money? You know, and continuously degrades you in front of people, for example. So Imam Ali alayhi salam may be, you know, alluding to this, that don't ask people like this. Before you ask somebody, know, is this person like that or not? You know, again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be able to seek our needs first and foremost from Him alone, and to ask those who He has placed His rahmah in, and for us to, you know, get our needs with ease without having difficulty in such matters. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Philip Khoury Hitti was a Lebanese-American professor and a scholar at Princeton and Harvard University, and authority on Arab and Middle East history, Islam, and Semitic languages. History of the Arabs is one of his most famous books and was first published in 1937. Hitti spent 10 years writing this book. in chapter 9 of this book, which is entitled The Quran, the Book of Allah, he wrote about the Holy Quran the following. Though the youngest of the epoch-making books, the Quran is the most widely read book ever written. Its language is rhythmical and rhetorical, but not poetical. Dear brothers, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 140 and 141, recited by Jum'ah Mukhtar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا رحمن يا رحيم
أم تقولون إن إبراهيم تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 140 to 141 by Sheikh Jum'ah Mukhtar. Now we want to talk about the tajweed rules that are in these two verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم تقولون إن We have a noon which is مشدد. Noon is a letter that is pronounced from a place of articulation known as خيشوم. Okay, that's where the air comes from the nose. The head of the tongue is involved, and it blocks the airflow in the mouth just behind the upper front teeth. And then the back of the tongue is lowered so that air can come from the nose. Okay? So the place where the oral cavity is blocked is the top of the tongue or the head of the tongue and the upper, behind the upper front teeth. So we don't have the back of the tongue blocking the oral cavity like in other letters where the oral cavity is blocked and the sound comes from. But for example, for meme, which is also a letter of Khayshum, in M, the blockage, the obstruction is in the lips. The two lips completely obstruct the airflow in the mouth, while the back of the tongue is, again, is not blocked so that the sound can come from the nose, from the khayshum. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِبْرَاهِيم. The ra has tafkhim. You have to pronounce it with thickness. Ra, ra. We shouldn't say ra, ra. Whenever ra has aliful med, we pronounce it with thickness, with tafkhim. Even though it's a letter of istifal, we pronounce it with tafkhim, which is actually velarization, which means the back of the tongue raises up toward the velum or the soft palate. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِسْحَاقَ. حَا has بُحَّة. We have to have constriction in the pharynx when pronouncing حَا. وَيَعْقُوبَ عَا. عَيْن and حَا have the same place of articulation, the middle of the throat, except عَيْن is voiced while حَا is voiceless. So عين is a lot smoother because it doesn't have بحة. ويعقوب والأسباط. The طاء has تفخيم because it's a letter of استعلاء. كانوا هودا أو نصارى. صارى ص ص. Again, صاد has تفخيم because it's a letter of استعلاء. And also the راء has تفخيم because it has ألف المد. قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. أَظْلَمَ, again, the law has تَفْخِيمُ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Again, the line, غَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. You have to open the mouth vertically because the line has أَلِفٌ. Okay, we don't have time to talk about the next verse. That's it for today's program of Let's Recite the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. In continuing our discussion or our story on Sa'id ibn Jubayr, it is important to understand who this individual is. It is narrated in history that this individual was a person who obviously lived in Kufa. He was one of the Shi'i of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and more importantly, he was also an individual who was a Tabi'i. Now, a Tabi'i is an individual who did not see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but was one who saw the companions and learned from the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as our discussion is based on the Holy Quran, this individual is of extreme importance, because during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, there were certain individuals who were known as being the teachers of the Holy Quran. Obviously, at the peak, other than the Holy Prophet, obviously being the absolute teacher of the Holy Quran, after him the best student of the Holy Prophet being Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. But then from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, you had other individuals who learned either from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam or from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Individuals such as Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas. Now this individual, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, was first of all one of the, or has been reported to be one of the specific and special companions of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He also took his place and took part in the uprising against this very same Yusuf who we are discussing. Obviously that uprising unfortunately got crushed and defeated, and Sa'id had to flee Kufa, and he is buried in the city of Wasit, which is in today's Iraq. So anyway, this individual, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, as you will come to see in the continuing of our story in our future episodes, that his knowledge of the Holy Quran and the means by which he proved this claim of his, that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam are the sons and the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he had a deep understanding of the Holy Quran. The reason for this is that he was the student of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that is Ibn Abbas. So we see that this individual, first of all, having this deep knowledge of the Holy Quran, as you will come to see in our future episodes, that he was able to prove his claim. And not only prove his claim, to prove it in such a way that there was no reply to what he said. And therefore, it, as you will come to see later on as well, that this individual who is narrating, Amir al-Sha'bi, himself says that this individual, Sa'id, had a deep understanding of the Holy Quran, and it is worthwhile for me to actually take lessons from him, for me to learn the Holy Quran. So, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like these companions of the Imams, and those companions who, wherever they went, had the Holy Quran as a means to prove their claims and their opinions and their points of view. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
Lecture.
شيخ طاهر رضا جعفر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We are continuing with our discussion on الخطبة القاسعة, which is one of the very beautiful khutbas of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And we have seen that this khutbah was delivered at a time when there was a lot of disunity in the community in Kufa among the believers, and the Imam delivered this very powerful khutbah. In the first part of this sermon, the Imam alayhi salam tells us to beware of shaitan. So what are we supposed to beware of? Three things. Number one, don't be infected by his disease. Number two is be careful of his waswasa. Don't be misguided by his temptations. Number three, be careful of his now direct attack with his army. His army will attack you. That is the third thing you need to be careful about. When you are careful of these three things, then now you have protected yourself against shaitan. And it is very interesting that after saying this, the Imam alayhi salam gives an example of how shaitan attacks. He says, shaitan has already kept a lethal arrow in his bow, and he has pulled the bowstring to the extreme limit, and he is going to shoot the arrow from a very near place. When you shoot by pulling to the extreme, that means now your heart is filled with so much anger and hatred, you want the maximum blow. And the type of arrow, even the Imam says, is a deadly, a lethal arrow. So now the Imam paints a picture of the level of animosity that shaitan has for us. He wants to shoot from a nearby place with the most strongest shot he can make, with the deadliest arrow he can use. This is the first point that we can take from the summary of this khutbah. The second point is that shaitan has made a vow and a covenant, and he has made an oath that he is going to misguide and mislead human beings. He told Allah Azza wa Jal that because you have misguided me, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because you, O Lord, have misguided me, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, I will sit and block them in the right path. I will block their way to you. And in another verse he says, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, I will make things of the dunya beautiful for them so that they are attracted towards it. وَلَأُغُيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, and I will misguide them all. The lam here, لَأُغُيَنَّهُمْ, it shows his seriousness, his determination. It is not something to be taken lightly. So that is the second point, is that shaitan has made a promise that he is going to misguide human beings. It is the mission of his life to misguide human beings. He wants to take every last human being with him into the fire of hell. That is the purpose of his life. Why? Because he feels bitter that all the ibadah that he did, which we mentioned yesterday, 6,000 years of ibadah, was nullified because of the human being. So he has that hatred in his heart against the human being. That is the second point. The third point is that there are some human beings who follow shaitan, who follow the teachings, the misguidance of shaitan, and they go behind him. He is their leader, and he establishes himself amongst his followers gradually. First, he enters in secret, and once he has established himself, then he comes out into the open. وَنَجَمَتِ الْحَالِ مِنَ السِّرِّ الْخَفِي إِلَى الْأَمْرِ الْجَلِي, the Imam says. The situation changes. First, he enters into the community in secret. He does his work quietly, nobody knows. Once he has established himself, now he comes out. This is the way of shaitan. In another sermon of Nahjul Balagha, the Imam describes it beautifully, how shaitan plants seeds in the hearts of people. He actually lays eggs in their hearts. He lays eggs. And then the eggs, they hatch. And out come these small shaitans.
And then slowly and gradually they grow and they take over the heart of people. So Shaitan's work is something that is done gradually over a long period of time. He has a vision. He looks ahead. He plans ahead. If he wants to take over a community, he won't do it immediately. He will do it gradually, step by step. Initially, in private, in secret, and then openly. That is number three. Number four from this part of the khutbah, what we learn is now, once he comes out in the open, Shaitan displays his utmost hatred and animosity against the people. The Imam describes the attack of Shaitan on the people. He says, he gouges out their eyes with spears, he cuts their throats, he tears their nostrils as he drags them into the fire of hell. Now, when you can imagine a very bitter and staunch enemy, this is how that enemy would behave. There would be no mercy. You don't expect mercy from Shaitan. When Shaitan attacks, this is how he attacks. He goes all out, full force attack against human beings. And that is why Amirul Mu'mineen in this part of the khutbah, he says that the enmity of Shaitan against human beings is worse than any enmity you can have amongst yourselves. Imagine your worst human enemy. Shaitan's enmity is worse than that. His hatred for you is worse than that. And finally, the fifth point in summarizing this part of the sermon, the Imam says, now that you know that he is such a bitter enemy, protect yourself from Shaitan. How? By removing those traits that Shaitan wants you to have, those satanic traits of asabiyya, of arrogance, of vanity, of bigotry. Remove them from yourself. فَأَطْفِئُوا مَا كَمَنَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ مِنْ نِيرَانِ الْعَصَبِيَّةِ وَأَحْقَادِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. So remove from your hearts, douse out the flames that he has ignited in your hearts of what? Of asabiyya, of tribalism, of bigotry, of arrogance. Remove these things and all other satanic traits. So this is the part of the sermon of Khutbatul Qasi'ah. Now, we want to take certain themes. We note that this part of the khutbah deals entirely with Shaitan. So first, we want to know who is Shaitan. We want to learn a bit about this character, Shaitan. Our staunch enemy, our most bitter enemy. Who is he? Now the traditions are very interesting and many of them have to be verified. But looking at the traditions at face value, we find that in the beginning there was an entity known as Azazil. And he was from the jinn made of fire. But Azazil was a very pious jinn. And he would worship Allah so beautifully that when the angels saw him, they themselves requested Allah Azza wa Jal to grant him entry into Jannah. And so Azazil enters the first level of Jannah. And he continues worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal so beautifully that when the angels of the second level of Jannah see him, they request Allah, "Oh Allah, please elevate him to our level, second level." And again Azazil continues that way until he reaches the highest level of Jannah. When he reaches the highest level of Jannah, his status is so great that he starts giving maw'idah to Malaika. He starts giving advice to Malaika. He starts reciting majlis for the Malaika. The Malaika would sit and listen to the majlis of Azazil. And when a rumor came to be spread amongst the Malaika, some secret information was leaked that one of the Malaika will fall from grace. One of the Malaika is going to fall from grace the malaika would come to Azazil and say, "Iltimas du'a, please do du'a for us that we are not that malaika whom Allah will remove from his Jannah." And he would do du'a for them. And the traditions tell us that when Adam was first created, Allah Azza wa Jal created his body. Before blowing into his body the spirit, the body of Adam remained lifeless for a number of years, 40 years, for example, some traditions state. And so while that body of Adam in that lifeless state, Azazil would come to that body and he would look scornfully at that body. He would curse that body. He would rebuke that body. He would look at that body disparagingly. Look at this, a creature made of clay. Before even the spirit of Allah was blown into Adam, already he had in his heart these feelings against Adam alayhi salam. And then of course we know what happened. When he disobeyed Allah, he was expelled from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was expelled from the Jannah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Azazil fell from grace and he became Iblis. Iblis means one who despairs in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and who causes others, Ablasa or Oblisa, one who causes others to despair in Allah's mercy. That is Iblis. And his enmity was so strong that right from the beginning, in his conversation with Allah, once he was being expelled, he told Allah that I am going to misguide all these human beings. And how will I do it? ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Oh Allah, I will do it with so much determination. I will come to the human beings from the front. I will come to them from the back. I will come to them from the right side. I will come to them from the left side. And I will make sure that I misguide them. And you will not find most of them to be grateful, oh Allah. That was the level of his animosity. In a beautiful tradition, we find Nabiullah Musa alayhi salam, he was Kalimullah. He used to talk to Allah Azza wa Jal and conversations with Allah Azza wa Jal. We find that at one time, Musa alayhi salam was met by Shaitan. And Shaitan would meet some of the prophets. We have it in our traditions. He would meet some of the prophets. He even met our final prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. So he meets Musa alayhi salam. And he strikes up a conversation. And after the conversation, he tells Musa alayhi salam, "Oh Musa, why don't you pray to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask him to forgive me? Allah is Arhamur Rahimi. You are the messenger of Allah. You are the prophet of Allah. I want to do tawassul. You be my wasila. Ask Allah to forgive me." Musa alayhi salam prays to Allah, "Oh Allah, Shaitan wants to be forgiven." Allah Azza wa Jal replies, "Oh Musa, tell him, I am ready to forgive him on one condition. Tell him to go to the grave of Adam and do sajda. I will forgive him." Musa alayhi salam tells Shaitan. Shaitan replies, "If I did not do sajda before Adam when he was alive, you think I will go and do sajda now when he is dead in his grave?"